Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
Most of us, most of the time, are probably thinking that we'd like to spend less time on our phones and on our screens in general. So Elaine Burke of the For Tech's Sake podcast is here. And Elaine, you're going to give us some advice?
Yeah, hopefully a bit of help.
So do people think they spend too much time on their phones and their...
It definitely does seem to be a sentiment. There was a survey done late last year by Deloitte, just 1,000 adults ranging in age from 18 to 75 in Ireland. And that was what was I thought interesting in the survey, was that more than half wish they spent less time on their phones. So the survey asked things like how often they looked at their phones. And I always find that a bit nebulous in surveys, because I think people actually aren't quite aware of how often they try to access their phones. You'd have to be properly studied scientifically to really know the answer to that. But no matter what was the case in terms of how much they use their phone, more than 50% wanted to be using it less. And I thought that was quite interesting.
And have we decided if people can be addicted to phones or not?
Well, I think like addiction is a tricky word, because, you know, that's kind of pathologizing it in a way, because that's a very serious condition. But there's certainly a case that digital platforms are created to form habits, to make it so that there's a stickiness to them. There's even a book that's very, very popular with product developers called Hooked, and it's how to build habit forming products. And there's lots of people will be carrying that under their arm when they work in product development. And it's about creating an interface that, you know, makes you form habits, makes you return constantly,
what
makes you spend
tricks?
More time than you intend. So things like infinite scroll is something that has become really commonplace in a lot of digital platforms, where you keep scrolling and you never actually get to an end point. So there's no moment of pause for you to think, OK, that's enough of that now. And funnily enough, the inventor of internet scroll, he regrets it. Infinite scroll regrets it. And he has since set up something called the Center for Humane Technology. He wants to do more in tech for good. And it's the same as the creator of the like button at Facebook. He says he's kind of contributed to this kind of like wasteful time space that we've created on the internet because of the like button. So there's even some regret among people who've created the features that create that stickiness.
Pity about them, like they shouldn't think about it before they ruin the world. But anyway, what is it we're after? Is it mini dopamine hits or what?
Yeah, so what kind of happens is like you kind of develop an expectation that you will get a little moment of joy from this, because that can often happen. So you get a text from someone, you see an update from someone that you like, you maybe even receive interaction with someone that you've not spoken to before, or someone that you're trying to interact with online. So there's lots of ways that it can actually bring you moments of delight and moments of joy, and obviously that, you know, creates dopamine and is a very pleasant feeling. But often what happens is we're kind of idling on phones and we're seeking that moment, but we're not actually getting it all of the time. So you end up kind of like, you know, a little bit like chasing a high,
chasing
but yeah,
the
you
dragon,
know, that's
as
kind
as
of, yeah.
You know, okay. And Camir, in terms of the effects of this, do we know, you know, everyone says our attention spans, our concentration spans are short. Do we know that that's happening?
There's differing views on that. So I don't think there's like a scientific consensus that that's the case. Definitely some people think that that's the case. Some people personally think that's the case. So I think maybe if we think that we're thinking that ourselves, that's something worth addressing. Like if people feel like their attention span is being degraded, well, then that's something worth addressing yourself, I would say. Scientifically, the jury's still kind of out on that, I think. And the thing is, we're in a bit of a social experiment with this stuff, and it evolves so quickly. Like things like infinite scroll, commonplace now, but wasn't actually a thing until a couple of like years previous. So we're not like fully aware of long-term effects when it comes to this stuff as well, and that will take a long time for us to figure out.
So
as well,
so we're all guinea pigs and our kids are all guinea pigs, more to the point. In terms of, so we'll talk about breaking the habit, just before we do that, I suppose most people's experience would be that we do get anxious, don't we, when we're separated from our phone lot. Now I think if you write it out, if you lose your phone or it's broken or something, you're very anxious initially. You do kind of calm down as time goes on and realise, actually, I can do this.
Yeah, you can exist without your phone. Now, like, there are things that are making that more difficult. Like, things are becoming increasingly more digitised. There's some restaurants that you go to now, you can't read a menu unless you scan a QR code. I find that personally very, very annoying. Because, like, what if you don't want to be using your phone in that moment? You want to be engaging with the person you're having dinner with or whatever. And that's what happens. Sometimes we take out our phone with an intention to use it for something practical, because there are a mixed use device. They have a lot of practical features in there. People also often use it as an alarm clock, use it as their wristwatch. And because you take it out to check the time, or because it sets your alarm, well, then you wake up and you're straight in your phone doing other things. Or you go to check the time and you end up idling on an app and you realize you've close down the phone, put it into your pocket, and you can't even remember what the time was because you've forgotten. Yes. That's why you took the phone out for it in the first place. So there's okay, that.
So get a clock, yeah?
I would definitely say get an alarm clock. I have a radio alarm clock. Love waking up to radio. And it's just, it's definitely less anxiety inducing than waking up and going straight into your social media feed or the news feed. You get the news if you listen to radio as you wake up, so you'll get the highlights. Yeah. And then you can ease yourself into the day. Maybe get a wristwatch if you find that you're constantly checking your phone and losing time with your phone. And I think that's what this is about. It's not to say that like phones are bad and we should not stop using them, but for anyone who's conscious that they're used and is part of that more than 50% of people who wishes they spent less time, these are simple things that you can do, because I mentioned about the habit forming aspect of these tools. So that's what happens. You are just thinking, well, I just have this so I can check the time, or so that I can text people, or so I can be in contact with people. But it's doing a lot more than that. And awareness of how it's not kind of nudging you into the usages that you're not actually using with intent is a way to get away from it. And there's a book called How to Break Up with Your Phone, which is very, very popular with people who have kind of come to this realization that they need to form more healthy habits with their phone. And it's written by a science journalist, Catherine Price. And the way it is, it's broken up into two halves. The first half kind of tackles these things that we're talking about now, like, is it affecting attention spans? How often are we using our phones? And like divest into some of the science around that as well. But then the second half of the book, it gives you techniques of how to like form healthier habits around your phone.
Okay, so it's not about a full digital detox, like it's about just maybe managing it a bit better.
I think that's it, because I think realistically a lot of us can't live without our phones because it does a lot of things for us, and it does a lot of useful good things. There's lots of nice things about having a phone and being connected to people, even being able to play some nice games and things like that. Things that are fun and for your leisure time, but
that
you're choosing to do. It's all about being intentional, I think. And that's something that Catherine Price really focuses on in her book. And if you look at how your phone use can be more intentional, it becomes a lot more rewarding as well, because you're going to complete a task, you complete that task, and that is done, and that's satisfying to you. Rather than, I just went to check the time and now it's an hour later and I've just looked at a load of TikTok videos. What was I thinking? Like, you know.
Tell me about fasting.
So fasting, it can be something that you do, like you could do it dramatically. You could just be like, I'm just going to go a weekend without my phone, or a week without my phone. And that can be really hard to do. Some people do it for extremes. Some people do it to do more focused work, maybe go away to a place that has a bad internet connection for a weekend to focus on writing a book or something like that. Right. I know a few people have done that. But you can even do it like a short term thing. So what happens is we carry these phones around with us constantly. They're in your pocket, they're in your hand. But it can be very, very simple thing to do to just, when you get home in the evening, put your phone in a room that you're not going to be spending the rest of the evening in. So like not in the living room where you're going to be or in the kitchen where you're going to be. And you're less likely to go and seek it out when it's far away from you. Okay. Because it's to hand all the time, because it's in your pocket, you will take it out and idle on it. A commercial break comes on and you just whip the phone out and stuff like that, because you don't want to be watching ads. Like, it's not that we're bored or whatever, it's because people aren't that interested in watching ads. But if it's not there, you won't do that. You won't. Okay. The intent to use your phone in those cases isn't so strong that you'll actually get up, go get the phone to do it. And that just makes
it harder.
Intentional.
Another way of making it harder, you suggest burying apps.
That's something that I know has worked for a lot of people. Now, for me, it was actually I deleted some apps on my phone. But burying is another technique, because sometimes you can't get rid of them. They are useful for whatever reason. And a good example for that in my life as a journalist was Twitter. And I'm kind of more focused on the pre-Elon Musk days of Twitter, because that's when I kind of worked my way off of Twitter a little bit, because I found that I was on it too much and I was finding it a bit overwhelming. I was finding that the updates that I was getting through Twitter were actually kind of overwhelming me mentally and emotionally, because like people I didn't know would be saying something about a death in their family or something like that, and that's very affecting to see, but it's quite exhausting emotionally to be constantly going through that and obviously seeing the news of the world, and also that's very upsetting as well. So I was finding that I needed to take some time away from Twitter, but I still need to use Twitter for work, to engage with people, to share things and that. So what I did was I just deleted the app for my phone. It meant that I could still access the website through the mobile browser if I ever wanted to, if I ever needed to on the fly, but I had to kind of think through it a bit more rather than tapping open the app. And it immediately shortened my usage on Twitter. It didn't take it away, but it shortened it. So that's one thing you can do, is try and delete apps.
Turning off notifications.
But I just say about burying the apps, it's just put it in a folder within a folder in your phone. And it just, every nanosecond that you have to think about what you're doing helps you to be more intentional about your usage. And notifications, I don't think, like, the majority of notifications that are set as defaults on your phone are necessary. I think definitely, you know, if you want it to be a phone, you want it to ring. If you want it to be something that receives text messages, you want it to notify you of those. But beyond that, I don't think your personal email needs to be notifying you every time you get a newsletter or an update from a shop that you've bought something from to tell you that they've got a 10% off discount for you. So like, you don't need that in the moment that it happens. So I would definitely advise to limit as many notifications as possible, because okay. we get way more than we need.
And finally, tell me about grayscale quickly.
So this is something that kind of basically desaturates your phone. Some phones have it as a feature, and I think there's some apps, if your phone doesn't have it as a feature, that will enable it on your phone as well. And the idea is that, you know, some of the design of these apps and stuff like that is to be shiny and inviting, and color theory is involved in that in many, many ways. So the idea is to make the phone a little bit less shiny and inviting, more of a functional device, more of a boring looking tool, and you're probably less likely to be attracted by those things.
Okay, and look, everyone's going to intend to do all those things, and we'll do none of them. But Elaine Burke, host for TechSafe podcast, thank you. There's a very withering text here. You have no idea how ridiculous this sounds to me as a 79-year-old person here. Love it.